Hello there. You are welcome to the Beacon Podcast, where we share insights on personal branding, tips and interviews that give you the courage to shine your light. And now your superstar host, Joy Enegalu. Welcome to today's episode of the Beacon Podcast. And with me today, I have the reputable fear strategist, this Adobe Ezeadum. I hope I got that right.
Yes, Joy.
So today we're going to be talking about the book Who Moved My Cheese, written by Dr. Spencer Johnson. And I thought it's wise for us to discuss this book because, I mean, looking at what's happening around the world now, it's a book that fits perfectly into this season. You know, people dealing with change, some people are scared. They don't know what to do. They don't know what's going to happen after COVID and all of that. So we're going to be discussing this book, especially as regards change and fear, because we see the four characters, Sniff, Scurry, Hem, and Whore, you know, portraying different personalities or different behaviors. So it depends on the one that you are. So but as regards fear, we see Hem, who specifically, or, you know, who is really, really scared, like he resists the change because if he fears that it may lead to, you know, something worse, so he doesn't even want to go and look for his own cheese. He's just sitting one place and saying, oh, who moved my cheese? They should bring it back. I want it back, you know, stuff like that. So we're going to be having this conversation with Mrs. Adobe, and I hope that when you're done listening to this episode, that it's really going to impact your life in one way or the other. So you're officially welcome to our podcast, Mrs. Adobe.
Thank you, Joy. So I liked what you said, talking about change and, you know, fear, and people are scared. Yeah. Particularly, I would love to start dissecting the character of him and her. Those two people, you know, they're like the two little human beings.
Yeah,
I also loved Carrie and Sniff from the book. You understand that Spencer was trying to explain how life is. Naturally, changes will come, things that will throw us off balance will always present itself, right? So, yeah. When I looked at those characters, I was like, okay, where do I really fit in? Now, the truth was, I was not comfortable with him, you know. I'm like, okay, what is wrong with this human being? Are you kidding me right now? Move. But then when you, as a coach, looking into his character, I find out that the subconscious mind holds people down. He has gotten so comfortable with what is that he wasn't ready to verge or venture into what will be or what should be. He's just like, okay, I won't like the way it is. Let's just stay this way. Why should I go and venture into something else? And then that presents the fear of the unknown. Everyone is comfortable with what they can see, what they can hold, you know, the tangible physical, not the world of the unknown that you don't even know what is waiting for you, right? So on a softer note, I'm trying to play the devil's advocate for him. You wouldn't really blame him. Like, are you kidding me? The cheese station C has got it all and now he's been moved. Why do you want him to go start again? But that is the limiting effect of fear. And that is why negative emotions and fear comes to play and why we have to ultimately try and strive to understand what our subconscious mind is. For me, he was working on a programming on his mind when he kept saying, you know, we are complex individuals, we are smarter and better than the mice, and we should be able to think better than them. And then when he kept focusing on the fact that we are entitled to our cheese, you know, I was telling her, we can't go. Why should we go find our cheese when we are entitled? I just want things to go back the way they were. I want life to go back to the way they were. Why should I venture out? The problem with that programming is that it's limiting. Sometimes things cannot go back to the way they were. In fact, it should actually usher you into change. Okay, the fact that things change should move you to change. And if we don't embrace the fact that everything evolves in life, even your age, every damn thing, you were not born a baby to get old a baby. So like you said earlier, the fact that people are skeptical and some are scared and fearing, you know, the unknown and what's out there, they want to just stay back in that comfort zone. And that is what the subconscious mind has been programmed to know. From the time they were little to when they were adults, there are certain things that have been formed in the mind during what we call the imprint period that is so hard for you to unlearn, except you are very, very intentional about relearning certain things. So he was the most, will I call him pitied and sorryable, if there's a language like that. He's like the person I pitied the most in the whole character. Because you just will never know what is out there until you venture out.
Yeah,
so for him to have remained there, yeah, it was really sad. And I just want to talk about him. Then I don't know how long I have on the podcast, but all the characters signified or played out different unique human elements that I would like to talk about.
Yeah, sure. So I just want to... We're all ears.
So for him, like, you find out that he was doing the same thing repeatedly. A lot of people do not understand the power in their mind. They don't understand how to actually reaffirm and reevaluate what they are doing. We believe that because we're hardworking, we've been doing that. I can imagine how when they started breaking the bricks to know if the cheese were maybe hidden at the other side of the wall, and how he's saying, we've been doing the same thing over and over. Well, that was when his aha moment for him came. Like, are you kidding me? I've been doing this and we expect change. Now, truth is that we do not even realize the silly little things we repeatedly do that form strongholds in our lives. You know, those little silly thoughts that keeps coming, those things that, until we take conscious effort to observe what we think about, what we do, what we spend our time in, we'll repeatedly find ourselves in the same pit the character found himself in. There was that comfort zone principle with him where he believed, I have achieved it. So we have achieved this. We are comfortable. Are you kidding me? You can't be so comfortable to get comfortable in life. And that was what happened with him, even with them, before her got her own aha moment and it was time to move. Now, let me start dwelling so much on him. Coming to the second character, the little people, how was also submerged into that life of, we are comfortable now.
Yeah.
Let's hang our shoes and throw them away, right? We don't need them anymore. There is something we do not understand. The human mind will always die. The human brain dies the moment it's not growing. You know, there are cells, there are neurons, there are a lot of things that make up your body and the human brain. And the moment you're not feeding it, you are just letting yourself die gradually. Personal development, self-development, these are the core things that should make you want to wake up every morning. The moment you get comfortable, you are actually telling yourself it's time to start dying off. If you're not growing, you are dying. And that was what they were not seeing. They were not growing. They have become comfortable. They're like, well, let's eat our cake and have it tomorrow. We shall all die, just like the scripture said. So they were just so comfortable and forgot that you just can't get to that place of comfort, you know, where you forget to grow, to learn, to do new things, to get new ideas, you know, to observe your environment, to think, to act. They were just living in the moment, which is very good. We all don't have to keep struggling and striving.
Yeah.
But we also have to remember, yeah, that even when we are in the place of comfort and pleasure and pleasantries, there is always time to take back and take stock. Observe. And which brings me, you know, to rounding up on her's character. When all those things were falling off, the scales were falling off, like Paul said, the scale fell off my eyes, when it was all happening, he was fine. But when you stay 2, 3, 4 days without food, my dad always says something, that a child that doesn't want to walk, you feel you're lazy, your second name is laziness, right? And you just want to cover yourself with a cloth or a blanket, you don't want to wake up. The moment hunger comes, hunger will wake you up. Now, the difference is that with him, as the name goes, I know it's H-E-M, with that character, the hunger wasn't even enough to wake him up, okay?
Yeah.
That is why we're all different in life. Some of us, the hunger, the passion to want to do more, to be more, to really find out what, you know, how can we be better? Some of those things can drive us to really want the change and pursue the change and be that change. Why some people, the hunger is just, it actually saps them and make them tap out more. So for her, the character, that hunger, like, they found out that their life is, if I keep staying here, I will die, right? And this is what me, I'm saying to myself, when I was reading the book, I'm like, for crying out loud, you guys are not finding cheese. And very soon you will die of hunger. So why not just go into the maze and find out something?
Yeah.
Go there, if the lion kills you, you know, fine. You were killed, you know, trying to struggle and survive. Than just staying there and not doing anything. So the moment I realized that there's no reason for me to remain here, you know, the character ventured out. Now, one striking thing happened. As the character was leaving, I love the fact that those notes and inscriptions made on the wall.
On the wall, yeah.
That would be like, when you stop being afraid, you feel good. Oh my God, I'm like, yes. You feel very good when you're finally facing your fears,
yeah,
and you're able to like look it in the face, no matter how bad it is, even if you are so scared, there is no joy that comes in knowing that you did indeed afraid. Do it anyway. No matter how scared you are, father's going to do it afraid.
Yeah.
Try. I tell people, fear would not move if you don't take action. The moment you take action, that fear dissipates, like it starts disappearing gradually. Now, the feeling he had when he went out, in my imagination, I'm like, what a liberating feeling to finally leave the shackles and the limiting mindset. And the problem with what we think is, we think that where we are is, I don't know, like the most beautiful. We think that where we are is the most comfortable. We think that where we are, you know, has everything we need. But the moment we'll keep launching out, keep exploring, keep seeing the world in different horizons, keep seeing the world through different people's perspective, we see how beautiful it is. So if had remained with the limiting mindset, you know, sold by her partner or the other character, the little people, he would have also remained bound in that fear of the unknown. What would happen to me? Are you sure we'll survive it? And I found out that every time the both of them remain there, there's something striking that happens. Whenever her tries to move, him will always say, why should we go there? Why should we bother moving? Let's stay together. You don't even know what's waiting for you out there. Now, people do not understand how negative emotions and thoughts impact, you know, their decisions and activities. If the partner, you know, there are two little people and one wanted to leave, one said, no, we're not leaving. Now, if both of them were in sync with the same idea that the world is better, there are a lot of opportunities we have not seen, let's go explore. Both of them would have left immediately, just like Sniff and Scurry, right? But because one person had a very negative limiting mindset, the other person couldn't move. And that was why her stayed a while before she realized it was time to really move. And until she moved, she wouldn't have been able to understand that Dadna had a very limiting negative mindset, which impacted very badly on him. People have friends and make alliance and make different partnerships and all that with people who do not flow on the same frequency with them. And they keep wondering what's happening. Why are we not multiplying? Why are we not blooming? Why are we not making the sales? Why the business is not working? Why are we not flourishing? they forget that there are people that they are joined to, that they are listening to, who have refused to level up according to this language. They haven't leveled up to their thinking. Rather, they draw them back. I believe that if her left or had someone of the same mindset, the moment they noticed the chills were gone, her would have been able to move. But because he was joined with a partner who was very limited in their thinking, was very entitled, felt the world revolved around what they knew at that time, he was drawn back into the web of negativity. So I want, to let people understand that so long as you are joined with people who do not have and operate in the same high frequency in your thought process, they are negatively programmed. They will always try to draw you down. And what happened when he came back? He came back with some cheese. After touring the maze, came back, tried to give him some cheese. And he still said, no, I want my cheese. I'll move my cheese. I do not want a new cheese. Just, I want my old cheese, blah, blah, blah. And the friend realized, okay, I don't think this is working. I think if I continue staying here, then I'd rather be my own self, farewell, right? My own thinking, my own thoughts, everything's going to be stifled, and he's going to squeeze the light out of it, and that was how he left. Now, I love the fact that Spencer was able to draw out the truth in knowing that you can't save everybody, you can't be a messiah. I don't have a messiah syndrome.
Exactly.
You are here seeing someone who said, no, we must do business this particular way. Like, if it's not this way, we're not doing it. You're saying, no, let's explore. Let's find out other avenues. Let's read other things. Let's find out people's experiences. They're like, no, it must be this way. Are you kidding me? And then you go back. You have done sales. You have done businesses. You have tried to do things the way you have learned new from the things you relearned. And you found out that this thing works. You're coming to the partner to present this business idea again. Let's do this one. You say, no, let's stick to the old way. If you stick down, if you say, okay, let's do it together, let's wait it out, you will drag yourself down to the same lane and of being stagnant and remaining in that mediocre level. You must know when to say, okay, fine, this is done. Like, I can't help this guy. If I continue staying here, this woman, this man will draw me down. It's just self-respect, self-discipline, self-awareness. A lot of things have to go into this. You have to understand really who you are. If you do not come to that place where you have understood, I can't help everybody, even if he's my partner, like, I can't help. Why didn't her drag him out and say, no, we must go into the maze together. We must go find this together. No, because once you try to force someone to do what they are not willing to do, you become a control freak, and that's going to make you sad, like you're going to be frustrated, so you don't even want to do that. Sell the dream to them, sell the idea, tell them the vision, even bring it for them, let them try it like he brought the cheese. A man or woman who is not moved, to come up to the level where you are, will not want to agree. They won't do that. And if you try to force them, you wear yourself out. And like they say, if you can't beat them, you join them. And truly, if the Bible said that evil communication corrupts good morals, then you do not think you're going to win that fight. You'll be dragged down to their level. So that's why they said, the Bible said, when you move with the wise, you become wise.
Wise,
when you move with the foolish people, you become foolish. So for those characters, for him and her, is more like the give or take. I understood that fine. Some people will not change. They will want things to be the way they want it. They have seen a future, or they have seen a glimpse of hope in a certain way, and they refuse to improve themselves above that. They refuse to learn, refuse to try to work on themselves. They just get comfortable. But information evolve, knowledge evolve. We just have to keep moving and working with the time. It won't always be the way we know it. So we should be ready to adapt, to learn, to harness material, to do the things that we're supposed to do so we can keep growing. And then for Sniff and Scurry, now I love those ones because life is complex and complicated, yes, just like the little people know it to be. very complex, complicated years. That's how life is. But sometimes you don't need to navigate through life with all those compass and all those what is measuring, geometry, trigonometry, all those mathematical stuff. Sometimes we don't need all those. We just have to like drop some down and just move with life. What do I mean? It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be well-read or learned or get information or knowledge. But you find out that the moment you have been able to groom yourself to a certain extent, common sense even kicks in. Once you be able to reprogram your mind to understand certain things, you don't need to be carrying the book that you read every day so you'll be able to see if I'm doing the right thing or not. Sniff and Scurry, I hope I got his name right, those two people were like my motivation. They were measuring the cheese. They had their shoes tied around their neck. You know, they were doing some common sense things that anybody who has gone through school, who has been given a brain, should even have. You don't have to be complex and complicated to know that when you are eating food, you should measure to know how much bulk or how much you still have in stock. Yeah. So you don't wake up in the middle of the night and you don't have bread to eat anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, so exactly. So as they were eating, they were measuring, they were even testing to know if it's old or this cheese will soon go bad or they will soon remove. We just need to be that proactive. We need all those side. We need the complex side of little people, yes. We also need the simplicity found in the other animal. Now, the good thing was that they were ready to adapt to change. They were not always thinking about, are you sure I should be able to do this or not? Let's try and do it first. Then if it doesn't work, we know we try.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset. I hope you can hear me. And that is the mindset I believe we should all have. You know, we should be able to say, I'm going to try this. I've done my research. I've done everything I need to do. We should be able to know that once we do our research, once we've been able to find out what works and what doesn't work, then we'll know what to apply. And that was how I found the other characters. The mice, they were wise. They were not afraid to change. They were not afraid to pursue and look for the cheese. They were not afraid to want more. And they were not afraid to actually venture out. Complexity in life makes us redundant sometimes when we are going to analyze, reanalyze, try to negotiate, try to dissect. When we take time doing all those things, we'll keep rethinking the process, which was what held him down. But the moment you're able to tell yourself, what was the worst that can happen? Is it that I find a cheese or I don't find the cheese? But if I find the cheese, good. If I don't find the cheese, at least I know I tried.
Yeah.
The moment we're able to start reasoning like the mice did, letting down the guards of the complexity of life, knowing when to move on and put the common sense part of our brains on, knowing when we're not supposed to just stay and be feeling entitled. Those were what the mice were doing. They were able to understand when to put on their running shoes. Okay, fine. It's time to venture out. We all need all these in our lives. We all need these things, you know. We all need them. We all need the good things of life. We also need to understand when to measure, when to take a step back, and when to foresee a bigger picture. So if he was seeing a bigger picture, then the fear of the unknown, the fear of not knowing what to do, the fear of not launching out again, wouldn't have stopped him. But because his whole life revolved around the present, what he knew, he felt entitled to that, and he felt that was all life could offer. So the point I'll make is, even if we haven't learned anything from the book, let's always remember that people who refuse to come up to the same frequency of thinking with us will always want to draw us down. Now, it's incumbent on us to refuse to know when to let go, because we can't save everybody.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Mr. Adobe, that has been quite insightful. But there's one more question I need to ask you just before we go. So we've established the fact that some people have allowed fear to take over them. And because of that, they're not able to step out of their comfort zone to explore other options available. So for those, let me bring it down to personal brands, because those are the people that we work with a lot, right? A lot of people have said, oh, Joy, I want to do this. Joy, I want to do this. Joy, I want to be known as this. Joy, I have these ideas in my head. But, and then when you listen to what comes after the but, you're just amazed. Because, so maybe it's because, you know, people like us have been able to, I don't even think I have grew that face because I was never in that box before, you know. But then you hear things like, oh, I'm scared. I don't know what people think about me. I'm scared. People may say I'm not good enough and all of that. So my question now is, what practical advice or action or tip do you have for those who have these fears in their hearts that's holding them back? And they honestly, like they genuinely want to step out of it and do what they think or what they know they've been called to do, but this fear keeps holding them back. So what advice or tip do you have for them?
What I'm going to say is very simple. The first thing I said was, once you take action, fear leaves. Now, anyone who is skeptical and who worries about people's opinion, I will want to understand where they're coming from, but it's still about the programming in the mind and the subconsciousness. You know, the moment you or me or anyone can get them to understand that what others say and whatever opinion other people have about them has nothing to do with them. Like, it's entirely not your business. It's not your problem. Opinions people have about you is theirs to worry about. Mm-hmm. So whether they say you're doing it wrongly, whether you say you're doing it totally in a silly way, whether they say you're so awkward in what you're doing, it doesn't matter. Like, it never will matter. That's why the concept of self-awareness is wonderful. If you have done the research, you have done everything you can, and you're able to come up, you know, down yourself and go talk about that thing. Oh, it's your business. You've done research in this business. You've understood what you need to know. It doesn't matter if you're presenting it in a way that is not wonderful for other people. Are you presenting it in a way that you feel comfortable with, that you can do it? Then every other opinion people have is not what you should be worrying about. If you worry about what people will constantly say or how they will perceive you or how they will take you, then you keep limiting yourself. Should we worry about what people say? No. Should we care enough, you know, if they want to give us feedback? Wonderful. But should you not, you know, sieve it out, just like when Jesus was asked the disciples, who do people say I am? They gave him answers, Elijah, prophets. Those were not his concern. He asked, so who do you think I am? They told him the Son of God. See, he took the one that was of interest to him. The other ones they were mentioning had nothing to do with him. And he was not going to be worried about what else other people were thinking. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was. He knew what he wanted. So the moment you come to that self-realization that it doesn't matter what opinions, misconceptions, assertions, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what people think. I know who I am. I know what I've come to deliver. I should work on myself. If they give me a good feedback, even when they give me negative feedback, I do not seek validation from them. I am already enough. I know I am well validated, so I do not need their validation to become me or to do well in business. But you need the feedback. You should be able to sieve out what is not going to make you grow, and take the ones that will make you grow and work on the ones you need to work on. But until you start, until you actually step out, take action, the opinions of others will always hold you down.
Quite interesting.
So that'll be, yeah.
Quite interesting. So thank you so much, Mrs. Adobe. I wish we could spend, you know, a lot more time talking about this. But Do you have, how can people reach you if they need to talk to you on social media, your website? So just let us know briefly.
So my social media, I have social media handles and then still working on the website. Somehow I just feel website will come when is. I just feel the world has moved into the social media era. Like personally, I don't even take websites anymore. I just ask me for a social media handle because people move their businesses there, but I will still get one. But for social media, so for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, there's Ada Ezadom, you know, I don't know how, but by spelling AdaEzeAdum. And then for my email is fierstrategist@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you very much. So guys, if you need to reach out to Mrs. Adobe, you can reach out to her via email, fierstrategist@gmail.com, and Ada Ezadom on all of her social media platforms. So we've come to the end of today's episode, and until I come your way next time, keep living your life and keep shining your light. Don't forget to drop your comments, your takeaways on this podcast, okay? So take care of yourself, and I'll see you next time.